see if this is...
I'm going to take my glasses off so I can see you all as one. As I'm getting to be nearsighted, it's wonderful. Then I don't see anyone as if I'm speaking to just one person. Well, it's very difficult to go back to 1931, but I'm sorry Kitty's not here, because I would like to speak the way her brother Herbert one day said, "I can't dance, I can't sing, I can't do any old thing." And that's how I feel, I can't do any old thing. But in 1931, it was my first trip to Paris, to Europe. You know, in my days, going to Europe was the thing to do. And there, I went, the thing that interested me most was art and painting. And I visited different museums. I had to return to America, to New York, because my mother was very ill. I was very much attached to her. I'd already known Norina before. I would like to say a few things about Norina, because you see, I knew Norina before she met Baba. I was a very young girl, and she was a very beautiful and extraordinary woman. Norina, I must tell you, was a highly cultured person. She'd been one of the great beauties of Europe. She had played, her husband was a poet in the time, great friend of Reinhardt, and all the German-speaking world. And Reinhardt, because of her beauty, thought that she should play in this play called The Madonna that was given in London before the war of 1914. Now, Norina, what was her world? Her world was a world of tremendous culture. Her world was maybe what you'd call today a superficial world. I don't know, but it had its meaning, and it had its form of being. She knew many languages, and she began to, all this that the world began to give her, she wasn't happy. She married a marvelous person, very handsome, Prince Machiavelli, afterwards. She came to New York to play with Lady Diana Manners in The Miracle. All over America, she was known for her beauty and for her talent. She knew the avant-garde. She knew all the things that today people are looking after, like the modern theater, the modern art, the modern poetry. So you see, it was very difficult for her, because to some, Baba had to bring up, and to others, he had to bring down. Now, Norina had to come down to the ordinary. It's very difficult when you're very high to come down to the ordinary, because so many inner things have to take place. You have to be cleaned of many things that have no importance, because it was, I say, a social world. And then she had a mystic language. Her language was very mystical. She just couldn't see Baba in an ordinary way. She had to see Baba in the most extraordinary manner. Now, I must tell you, when I met Baba, then I said, Baba was a source of all goodness. And with time, I say Baba was love. But being a young girl, I didn't know what love was. I just knew that when I came into that room, and Baba opened up his arms to me, Norina said to me, "Look, darling, be very careful when you go. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Just let yourself go." But I didn't think I could do it in such a way. Because I ran, and Baba said to me, "Do you know who I am?" And I said, "Yes, Baba." He said, "Who am I?" I said, "You're the source of all goodness." Today, I would say he was love itself. With experience, I realized what love is for Baba. And I sat at his feet. We were just a mandali. I used to be very often alone with Baba and just a mandali, so that I didn't realize I was so fortunate. I didn't take that something extraordinary. To me, it was very natural. It was natural, the joy that I experienced with him. It was such a joy that when I walked afterwards out of the room, I felt as if the whole world had changed. I saw everything golden, everything was on fire. I myself wanted to write poetry. I wanted to say poetry. But Baba said to me, I said to him, he said, what do you want to do? And I said, Baba, I'd like to be an artist. So he said, you're going to paint my portrait. I didn't dare say no. I said, well, he said, you come tomorrow with your box, with your paint box, and you'll paint me. So I arrived with my paint box. When I told to Norina, she said, Anetina, she'd call me Anetina. I could speak Italian with her. She spoke several languages, four or five languages. And she said, Anetina, what an extraordinary thing. You're going to paint such an extraordinary man. But I didn't think of Bob anything that was extraordinary. I just thought of someone that was so, I had never met such someone that who inspired me with such confidence, with such understanding, I don't know. I arrived with my paint box, and the mandali was seated in the corner, and I arrived, I opened my box, and Baba posed. Now, it was something very extraordinary to see Baba. He looked at me, and I looked at him. I have no recollection of time. I couldn't tell you how much time it took. All I know that I was painting and looking at him, and what was so fascinating was that, you know, the skin changed, the color changed. The eyes would go back, and then the eyes would come forward. I found it most difficult, but at least I tried. And after a while, Baba said, he stopped. I didn't even think of showing it to Baba. I took the portrait, put it in my paint box, and Baba, I said to him, but no one can paint you. He said to me, why? I said, because you're ever changing. He says, yes, I'm ever changing. Then he looked and he pointed to the nature and he said, you see, I too am an artist. So he said to me, every time you have a spare moment, you come. Well, I came. And I was awfully afraid because, you see, it was the first time that I saw vegetarians and people with bare feet and bearded beards and strange, and I don't know. It seemed to me awfully phony. You know, when you're young, you like everyone to look the same. Nowadays it's different. But in those days we were very conventional about how to look and how to be. And Baba would be there. And then one day he said, do you know who you were in the time of Christ? Strange thing to tell you. I said to myself, I can't remember what I did yesterday. But Baba didn't ask me, but he asked some and they would come and they whisper, and Baba go. Then the great moment came where Baba said, I could tell you who you were, but I'm not going to. You have to find out for yourself. Oh, I said, isn't he a darling? What a wonderful thing, because I couldn't know anything. Who? So this continued for a while, you see, with Baba. And every time I had a chance, I'd go up to Harman. Being young, I was put anywhere, on a chair. I slept on the floor, I don't know, by that time. It was most delightful because Baba would always wink at me when I was getting, and he inspired me with such joy that if I saw him a little bit sad, I immediately would think of something to sort of, you know, make him happy, like you would do to anyone that you loved or you cared. Have you noticed when you love and you care, you're very sensitive to that person. You immediately want to share what's happening to them. Then Baba came to New York. There are many other incidents, but I would take such a long time to explain it all. And they put Baba up at the hotel in Times Square. And I was there with Baba, and Baba pulled the curtain aside and called me and told me to look. And I looked, and at great big letters in electric light was strictly dishonorable. And Baba said, that was he. And this continued, you know, because then Baba stayed at the Stokes. I can't remember all the details. It would take such a long time. I'd like to come to Portofino. Baba left. But in the meantime, I'd been a great deal with Baba. He would take my head, and I wouldn't be serious. And Norina sometimes would be shocked. She said, "You live, darling, you're having very bad manners. Now you have to control yourself." But Baba didn't mind at all. He told Norina to keep still, and I should be the way I was. So then, you see, after Baba came, Baba sent for us. My mother died, and Baba sent a telegram that we were to meet Baba in Genoa in June. This was 1933. And I arrived with Elizabeth. She had this very beautiful car called the Stutz. It was a very elegant car. And Norina would say to Elizabeth, "Naturally, Elizabeth, you're going to the barbarians in Europe here, in Europe, aren't you? Because you Americans think that Europe has nothing." Because she'd put so many things on that car that it could hardly move. It was clustered with so many things. And Norina was not, poor Elizabeth took it very sweetly. But when we arrived at this car in France, you see, as soon as you came to a hotel, the prices would go up, much to the sorrow of our two friends. So Norina said, "Elizabeth, I'll go." But then when Norina arrived, she was so elegant and so extraordinary that the prices would go even higher. So they thought they'd send me. So I would come. They didn't take me seriously. What is this young girl? For three rooms with such, when the car would come up, not at all pleased. But anyway, we finally arrived in Genoa. And in Genoa was the beginning of many wonderful things. Because they had rented this beautiful villa in Portofino. Now, what could be more extraordinary? To have a beautiful English setting in an Italian landscape. It was beautiful. Portofino was like heaven. We all arrived, all different types, all different personalities. Kitty, Quinton, Margaret, Mabel, Kitty's brother, Norina, myself, Delia with her sister. Different, we were all so different. It was amazing, the difference of culture, personalities, ages. But there we were with Baba, and we asked Baba, we all were supposed to participate and do something. So I said, "I would make breakfast." Well, you don't know what it's like to make breakfast for that, for all those people. They gave me a list, and the list was incredible. Green tea, black tea, coffee, black and white, as they would say, black, dark bread, light bread, no toast, marmalade, this other kind of fruit juice. But I went the next morning, I was going to make this, I had my list like this, and who comes, Baba? And Baba said, "What are you doing there?" I said, "I'm making breakfast, Baba." And I said, I'm studying the list. Baba said, "What is it?" Baba said, "Mm-mm." Everything had to be put on the table, and one had to take what was put on the table. It was almost easier. But there began a wonderful adventure. You can't imagine the beauty of those days. Don't forget that Baba was young. We don't think of Baba having an age, but he walked. He walked like a god. I don't know if you've ever been to the Chinese theater, where you see usually the Chinese gods, they have a way of walking from their breast. There's tremendous stride. Baba was that, full of energy, full of vitality. So that it created an immense energy. Kitty was stubborn. Kitty was difficult. Margaret was nasty. Norina was superior. Elizabeth, very difficult. She just didn't agree how the expenses were going on. And on top of it all, Nonina says to me, look, darling, now, this place is very expensive, and see that everybody, it doesn't make too much of a mess. I said, Nonina, I go. I arrived, and I thought, oh, I saw such beautiful flowers. If I were to cut some flowers for Baba, that would be beautiful, put on his table. I see a cupboard, I get on the chair, and I put my arm up to take the jug. And all of a sudden, the whole cupboard falls with all the china. A tremendous noise. I petrified. Everybody running, Baba running. And I didn't dare look at Narina. And I looked at Baba. I said, he's going to kill me. And Baba caressed my face and said, you go to bed and rest. Didn't speak about it anymore. So those, you see, but those days were full of vitality. Those days we all had to, in a way, we were being brought together, and at the same time we were being worked on. I didn't realize it at all. I was so happy. I loved it. I never went out. I was never allowed to go out. I had to go to bed early. When Baba went to Rome, I had to stay in bed. But I didn't mind it at all, because there was such joy, and I loved Portofino. And Baba was so radiant with such vitality. So one day, we used to take these lovely walks, and Baba, Norina, and all of them took. There was one way of going, was along the seaside, quite up, and the other way was a wider road that was leading to the Alta Chiara. And I said, Baba took the little boy that was with a little Indian boy, and there was Ori and Kitty's brother, Herbert. Baba asked them to follow them. And I used to follow Baba so quickly, sometimes I'd take his sandals off, my feet would get under his feet. And he said, you don't want to come? I said, yes, I want to come, Baba. He said, all right, come along. So I came, we came, and Baba being very light, there was a sort of a narrow path, and this path was where they used to throw everything down into the sea, and the sea was rather high or low, and the path was very high, and there all of a sudden Baba and the Indian boy were able to cross over, but Oria with Herbert were stuck. They couldn't, because all the earth began to give away. And they had to hold on to a shrub and a tree. Baba already crossed over, and I came. I took in the situation, what to do. I sat under a little stone, looking at the sea, and I said, well, if Baba is what he is, nothing will happen. If he's not, I won't die a coward. And I kept reciting, a coward dies a thousand deaths, a hero only one, a hero only one. And there was the sun, the sea, the light, the beauty. And then all of a sudden, Pendu comes down with the other two have gone, jumped over with Pendu, pulled them up with a rope. And Baba, you know, I can't tell you what I saw. I saw the most beautiful vision that you can think of. The sun had made Baba's clothes, like his body was all, this cloth was all very, I don't know, he looked like, you've seen some of those Byzantine figures, very long, with these white, and his face was clapping. He was clapping his hands, and looking into the sun, and then you looked, and I was pulled up without knowing how I got up there, because so extraordinary was this vision of Baba. It was beauty. It was beauty. It's when you see something beautiful, your breath is taken away, and there's always remained to me this vision of beauty. I saw beauty. And then Baba, when we got there, Norina, you can imagine, here was Baba with this, and me, Anatina, she'd come here, Anatina, to lose you both would have been terrible. So we came back, and Baba had, after in these things, very understatement. You couldn't show any fear or anything. You had to be very, I don't know why, he controlled us all in the sense that we were very quiet in spite of what had happened. And Baba gave us all a tiny little bit of wine, maybe just a few drops to drink, just, I don't know why, to celebrate what had happened. To this day, I don't know. All I can tell you, it was a very beautiful sight to see Baba in that condition. Then Baba had to go to Rome. He took, I don't know who went to Rome. I don't quite recall who went to Rome with him. Herbert, I mean, a few went to Rome. In those days, you know, we knew nothing about Baba. So Baba going to Rome for his work, we thought his work, everybody would notice it, not knowing that this interior work, Baba could sit there and you see him moving his hand in such a way and his eyes would go back. After a while, you're observant of that, but then it was new. So I couldn't tell you what happened in Rome, but it was very important for him to go to Rome. But he did say to us, I had to go to bed at 9 o'clock. And Quinton was very naughty, said, Anita, you go to bed at 9, but doesn't necessarily mean that we can't come in your room and have some fun. And he would let Indeed and all of them come to my room, while Baba was in Rome. And in Rome, that I don't know what happened, but when Baba came back from Rome, he had to be carried. He was carried, he was so tired. Now, Quinton was a very delicate, and he didn't like to take bags. And he said to me, you know, I'm going to hide. I'm not going to go down and get all those bags for all those people who are coming from Rome. He said, you know, I'm a bit tired tonight. When all of a sudden, there's a voice saying, where's Quinton? Where's Quinton? He has to come down to take the bags. And Quinton was hiding behind a tree, and down he had to go to take all the bags that arrived from Rome. Now, it was there that Baba started the first day of silence. We didn't keep it for 24 hours, but there we had to keep silence and fast that day. You know, it was something very new. Everybody was in a terrible state, this idea of fasting, besides. You see, Italy was a delicious place, and then by that time, it was delicious cooking that went on with all kinds of ideas that came to everyone that was helping. And the fast was a bit difficult because not only the fast, but the talking, and there had to be complete silence. And Baba said, at 10 o'clock at night, we could have a little sandwich. Then Baba arrived. Oh, I must tell you about Kaka. You see, Norina was very upset about calling Kaka Kaka. He said to me, she said, Anitina, don't you think? She said, you can't call Kaka Kaka. What can we do? Don't you think we should tell Baba that that is a word that we can't use? She said, your papa. She would say to me in all three languages, your papa. In Italian, she would say it. In French, she would say it. In English, my God. I said, Norina, if we tell Baba that, it'll probably be upsetting for Kaka because he'll think of what it means. Why don't we just say Uncle Kaka? So we thought it was a good idea to call him Uncle Kaka, you see. You see, after a while you got used to all this. And then Baba, when he told us that we had to fast, and it was Baba came in radiant and then looked at all of us and said, ah, he said, you Westerners, you're awful. You're just made of molasses. You're nothing, he said. My Easterns are so wonderful. You will look because you fasted a half a day or three quarters of a day. He said, you're all looking so pale and helpless, you can't walk anymore. But we finally were given a little sandwich. But then, you see, it wasn't that heaven we thought it would be, because for some reason, who started that story that the house was haunted? So in the middle of the night, the most frantic things were going on. For instance, Norina had a nightmare, and she would be screaming. And Delia got caught in the mosquito netting because she couldn't run out quick enough because she was frightened to death. And then Baba would come out and look at us all. He said, what is it? Well, they heard something. It was a very old house. It was a house that belonged to Lord Carnarvon, who did all the discovery in Egypt. So one had strange ideas, some of them, but it wasn't at all that. It was just Baba's way of being to keep us all very alert. He was kind of, you know, when you're making a piece of sculpture, sometimes you have to torture your clay, or you take something, you almost torture it to make it pliable. I often thought that that was a way that Baba was sensitizing us, making us kind of, that you could be awakened at the same time, upset at the same time you were able to fall asleep, because I still today I can't put it into words. It's just a feeling that I had. And then you see Kitty didn't want to obey. Margaret made a little play for Baba. And the play was, we were all over 100 years old, shaking, and Baba didn't speak. There were planes going everywhere, and we were also concerned about the speaking. Baba enjoyed it tremendously, because he used to like us to be creative. And each one of us being creative made us think of him. Thinking of him, he was able. Well, it's so mysterious, I'm not going to explain something that is so mysterious that I don't even understand today. So, am I making it too long? And one day, Kitty, for some reason, we couldn't find her. And Baba said, where's Kitty? No one knew where Kitty was. Baba said, go and find Kitty. Everybody ran, came back, no Kitty. Baba said, but she must commit suicide. Norina was so distressed that there was a huge tablecloth on the table. She took it off and cried and said, my God, she said to French, qu'est-ce qu'elle fait? And Baba said, Kitty must be found. And then all of a sudden, Kitty arrives with her hands across her back. She comes, now she can walk. Baba looks at her and says, Kitty, where have you been? Oh, she said, I've been under a tree looking at the landscape. Baba said, we were looking for you. Will you obey? Well, I don't know, Baba, when I'll obey. I don't know. Baba said, if you don't, I'll leave. And Norina said, please, Kitty, please obey. Don't make Baba leave. Still with that huge napkin. Then Baba had to leave, you see. He had to leave. He said he was leaving. I mean, not because of Kitty. But there were many incidents that the questions and answers were made there. Baba asked us all to ask a question. And each one of us had to give Baba the next day a question. And Baba afterwards answered. And that was the first thing that happened, was the questions and answers. Deshmukh came to see Baba. Many people came to see Baba in Portofino. And I remember we were very, very naughty, I must say. We didn't like the newcomers. You know how it is in a family when you see somebody that's going to take away someone of your family, you feel, oh. And he came with an enormous bouquet of hyacinths, you see, which we thought was so strange to bring Baba, not roses. But Deshmukh was enchanting. Then came from Switzerland the Mertens, Arend and Hedy. Many people came. Then Baba left, and Elizabeth and Norina and Orya, we had to leave to go to England. And there in England, there was a house that was put on order that was taken. And I had to go to bed every time at 9 o'clock and never go to London. It was very difficult, that seclusion. Because, you see, Noreen and Elizabeth went off. And they became so important. I don't know what they were doing, but anyway. It was very important. They came back and they were Philip. And Kitty would come and Quentin would come. And then Barbara made, they made a theater for, you know, Delia's brother had a theater. And we thought, well, for Barbara, we'd make a lovely show for him. Everybody was going to do something. I was going to help. I made help with the costumes. I wasn't very, very good, but anyway, I tried my best. And they all, Margaret was going to dance, and Margaret made up a dance for herself where she was this extraordinary nymph that came through the woods, and Quentin was a hunter, and Delia and I were the hunting dogs. Now, as you've seen Delia, she wasn't very good at being a hunting dog. And neither was I. We couldn't make the Dalmatian hounds white. We were white Dalmatian hounds. So I thought we'd make them black, and I painted white spots. And Margaret, who was a professional dancer, and Quentin too, they thought we absolutely were impossible. We were supposed to follow her, you see, barking. And then little by little, she said, well, I think you too, what you better do instead of running after, just get on your back and just show your legs, you see. Well, after the show was over, Baba made lots of compliments to everyone. And in my sorrow, I said, Baba, didn't you see me? Baba said, where were you? I said, didn't you see Delia? Baba said, no. I said, Baba, you didn't see the hunting dogs? Baba said, no. I said, didn't you see our feet? Baba said, no. They had put us so low that not even our feet showed. So while we were doing these terrific running with our feet, you see what happened. Now, I can't tell you about what happened to the others. I can only tell you what happened to me. Everyone will have another story, and that's the beauty of it, because you'll all be so confused. By the end, you'll have your own story. Then Baba said to me, now, you're going to Switzerland. And they were going to Spain. That was a terrible blow. I thought, well, the Prado is in Spain. I'm the only one who should see the Prado. Why him? Why the others? And I said, Baba, I think I would like to come up. I said, no. You have to stay 3 days in Paris. Now the third day you have to go to Switzerland to a school in Zurich. I said, Baba, Switzerland is such a small place. It's so far away. He said, you're going to Switzerland. It'll be lovely for you. And Norina said to me, you, with what is this bourgeois attitude that you have? Such a low. Baba sent you to this wonderful place and you don't appreciate it. Well, it was difficult. So we went and we took the train and came to Paris. And Baba was leaving from the Quai d'Orsay to go to Spain. Now, since the Quai d'Orsay, it's not anymore a station, it's a very beautiful museum, which has become one of the most beautiful museums in Paris. And there Baba stayed. There was Kitty and Norina, Elizabeth, they went. And Baba put me in a taxi. I cried my heart out. There was no changing, nothing. And Baba put me in the taxi and put his head and said, not to cry. And the taxi man looked at me, said, Mademoiselle, don't cry. You'll see your father again. You'll see him again. An angel. He took my bag. He helped me afterwards and said, you know, you shouldn't be so unhappy. You're going to see him again. I stayed 3 days in Paris and arrived in Zurich at the school of Otto Haus Haye. It was a very interesting... In the beginning, I didn't like it, naturally. So that was a bit difficult. But afterwards... But when Otto came to meet me at the station, he was a great romantic, very handsome, who'd known Norina before, loved Norina, great friend of Reinhardt. He was a great... Well, nowadays, I don't know, you don't like to use the word culture, but he was a very cultivated man. So that... It was an interesting school, but I was so unhappy, I was so miserable, that here they were, I was all by myself, didn't know anyone there, and Baba sent Norina after a while to see me, to spend Christmas with me, and Norina arrived, naturally she used to arrive like a tiger, she'd say, and she'd give me the most terrible scolding, that I didn't appreciate what was being done. I was wasn't full of any graciousness. That I gave Baba worry. Baba said, Baba would keep saying to Norina, Anita's starving. Anita has no roof on her head. Anita's in the street. Baba, no, no. Well, finally, then I had to stay in Switzerland, which I liked very much. But Baba came to Paris, and I had to go meet him. Then he came to Zurich. He came several times to Zurich, as you know. But the most beautiful thing was when Baba went to the Fallen Flu. Like usual, I don't know why, Baba said, now you go, you must go to bed, you must stay in your bed, and no eating. So when everyone, and I stayed in bed that day when Baba went on the Fallen Flu, I had to fast. And he said, you can only get up when I arrive. So Baba, when he arrived, and actually I knew immediately, because I was very intuitive with Baba. I would know, I felt, you see, so I rushed. And you know, it was simply glorious. When Baba arrived, I looked at him and I said, Baba, what authority you have. He had such authority. He was so radiant. And Baba said to me, yes, but a real authority means having great responsibilities. I thought that was beautiful, don't you? That real authority means having great responsibilities. It wasn't domination, not being domineering, because there's no authority to be domineering, but to have real authority. That's something. Because it's the great... Well, you can understand it, don't you? Now, Baba, afterwards, the second time he came, he said to me, you're to stay 3 days. You can stay now. You have to leave on the third day. Was it the fifth day? I can't remember, third or fifth day. You go to... He said, I don't know where you're going. And I was just getting used to it. I was going skiing. I liked school. I made friends. You know, I was full of life and... strange for them. There were blonde people. I was dark. So it was really fun. And Baba said, you're to stay, I don't know, 3 or 5 or 7 days, and then you go to Paris. I said, Baba, I'm just beginning to enjoy this place. Baba said, you go to Paris. And you're going to wait for me until I call you. Well, it was a bit difficult, as you can see. So I went to Paris, and there I was going to study, continue with my art studies. And in Paris, I went to the Atelier de Set, which was a very interesting place to continue some of my, I want to do line, I want to do etching and things of that sort, and drawing. And Baba said, I'll be sending you a telegram when you're supposed to come to India. I had charming friends in Paris. And they said, look, we're going to make you a beautiful coat when you go to India. And this coat, you can put it when you're on the deck, you can put it around you, because in those days you went by boat. You won't be cold, you won't be warm. It was fascinating. I loved thinking of this coat to go to India. And imagine, I waited and waited. And to my great astonishment, Baba said, meet me in Cannes. On the 15th of August, you're to be there. Now, just before I was leaving for Cannes, I met Roger at the school. I went in the day, he went at night. So I spoke to Roger about Baba. And I said, look, you can meet Baba now. You can come south. He said, well, I'll take you down. And it was very interesting because, you see, Roger left the car and Baba was waiting for me. And I come, he said, how long are you going to stay? And I said, no, Baba, no more tricks. You know very well I'm going to stay as long as you stay. Now, don't tell me, because I thought, well, then now he's going to send me somewhere else. I don't know where he'd be sending me. And then Cannes was something very different. You probably know a great deal about Cannes because it was written. But, you see, the girls with Baba had two houses. The house below, I can't tell you about the house below. I can only tell you about the house above, where we stayed, what we call the girls. Now, naturally, all not girls anymore, pretty old. But we were girls in that time. And Baba used to come very tired, and as if he came home, as if your father came home and you wanted to be very joyful and very happy, and you didn't know what the work was below. And Baba had Muhammad come from India. Now, in those days, there were no planes. It took almost 30 days to come. And he never had put a pair of shoes. It was Adi, who took him. That was a great work. You'd have no idea. Because he wanted to pick up all the cigarettes and they wanted to put them at night to be able to pass the French customs. Can you imagine what it was to have Muhammad pass the French customs? And Baba had built in this estate a cabin. And he said to me, Anita, have you seen Muhammad? I said, no, Baba, I haven't seen Muhammad. He said, well, you come tomorrow and see him. I come very timidly. I look. I said, am I mad or is people mad or what's happening? There was Muhammad, completely nude. And Baba washing him with this water, this boiling water, and there was sort of smoke coming out of the water. I ran away. I said to Norina, she said, but darling, don't, but this is fantastic what you saw. I said, I don't want to see it. I said, I couldn't even tell Baba anything. I said, I'm not going to see this anymore. I said, this is a madhouse. I don't want to see anything that's mad as this. And then you see how difficult it all was. With all these personalities and going around, and going here in picnics, and Walter Mertens, who was there, who was not a vegetarian, he would see veal, he'd see cutlets. He'd say to his wife, that's meat cutlets? She said, no, lentils. He was awfully upset about this vegetarian cooking that went on with him. How we all had to be brought and to be molded, let's say, to an understanding. Some had to be pulled up, some had to be pulled down, and some had to be put backwards. Because, as Baba explained to someone who loved her children, and she said, Baba, here I am, I love you. And I want my son to love you as much as I love you. Baba said, it's not possible. Were I to make him come close to me, he would be burnt. He must be able to come. I must push him. I must take him this way and then push him back. And then bring forward and push him back. And I've often thought of that with Baba. You see, I've never been disturbed when somebody says, oh, they want to just their life. They want to, they adore Baba, and then all of a sudden, you know, they've gone away. Because, you see, they can't. They have to have experiences that can be, they can be brought without being burnt and remain as they are. So it's never disturbed me. It's never upset me. I just take it as something very natural. Because that's where it is. There was one experience of someone whom I loved dearly and Baba loved very dearly at one moment. But she had to go through certain experiences. And then I said to Baba, Baba, she's here. I think it would be lovely to see her. And I said to her, don't you want to see Baba? Her husband hated Baba. He couldn't bear Baba. She couldn't even mention. But she had to go through this experience of marriage, this experience that she went through. And Baba made her come. She came to see Baba. And it was for me a great understanding, because I left the room